As I was praying this morning, I was pretty convinced that this is probably the most important Lent of our lives. You know, God gives us these times of repentance. God gives them to us because we need to repent. And he gives us the church, you know, the Lord through the church gives us these readings, this whole period of Lent. As I say, this is probably the most important Lent. God knows where we will all be next Lent. The nation is teetering on the brink of total financial collapse. I think everybody knows that. The Middle East is exploding. Europe is going down the tubes. It's weak financially, militarily, intellectually. Used to be the vibrant center of the whole globe. So I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that this Lent is a very particular gift to take our part in changing the world. Now, our Lord begins to talk in the Gospel, and I think I did this all last year, the three basic acts of biblical piety: pray, be in union with God, fast, deprive yourself, and then you have something to give away. It occurred to me, you know, we can do that with food, but everybody at home's got stuff in the closet, you know, that they could give away. And what stops us is not so much greediness as sloth. It's a lot of work to go through your stuff, to pick out two or three baskets load of stuff that we don't need, and to bring it over to the, what do you call that place over there? St. Vincent's, yeah. You know where that big bin is over there, right? I think we have to take this Lent very seriously. So first, pray. I mean, pray. Take time. Read the scriptures. Take the time to pray. Intercede. On my mind, always when I start to pray like that, are those women in southern Sudan who have to go out and gather sticks to make a fire to feed their family. And out there waiting for them are their enemies who either kill them or rape them every day. They don't have much food to begin with. And what little they have, they can't cook because they're afraid to go out. Look what's going on in China. The church, you know, the bishops who are loyal to Rome could wind up in jail. You know, wherever we go, look at the hatred of the Catholic Church now in the United States. And yet this grace, this gaffe of Obama, which gives us a chance to get together and witness. But it's going to polarize the country unless we pray. And you see, so we're not going to be liked maybe, and who knows, we may go to jail. Who's going? But we have Jesus Christ. Who's got that in this country? What percentage of people, even who call themselves Christians, have heard the word of the Lord? Pray. Intercede. But pray, ponder the scriptures. Make up your mind, you're going to read scripture a certain amount of time every day, and do it. And whatever else you've decided to do for Lent, give up candy or whatever, well, do it. But you see, first you pray. You've got to be being moved by the Holy Spirit. And take this world into your heart. I mean, we look at the leaders and the mess they're making of things. But what about the average Joe? He's just trying to make a living and support his family. He can hardly do that. And our rate of unemployment here is the highest it's been since the Great Depression or something. They fiddle with the figures, so we don't know that. But it's true. How many men, Pat prays for a lot of them every morning, can't even supply the stuff they need for their family? You see, it's this, and the stirring up of hatred one against the other. That's Satan's work. So we'll kill each other. Pray. If you go to the Lord and say, here I am, just pray in me, Lord, Spirit, any way you want. And take the time and fight for it. When you get bored, stick it out. There comes a time in the spiritual life when every prayer time is boring. Nothing seems to be going on except someplace in the depth of your spirit, you know you got to stick it out. Stick it out. Add 10 minutes to it for some poor woman who's trying to raise her kids and has no time for prayer. Take this world to your heart. When we are baptized, the Lord puts the whole world on our back. You know that. We're not here to be pious. We're here to be saints. And you don't have to do a lot. We have to let the Lord do a lot. But as I was praying this morning, you know, I'm looking and seeing, I have no idea what this world will look like by next Lent. None. I mean, there are so many things going on. The Middle East will surely explode. China may close in. Our finances, without a real repentance on the part of this nation, will be the laughingstock of the world. The big, strong, wealthy, you know, the only reason the Lord would have any mercy on us is because we used to be the most generous nation in the world. Whenever there was any, you know, tsunami or anything, we went and, you know, if we kept that up, the Lord would balance our finances. So, be alert. You know, I've told you this before, my friend Brother Raymond, prayer life or bust. And don't go and don't take, you know, if every day you have a lousy prayer time and you offer it up, you don't know how many people you're bringing to the Lord. They're all over the world. Don't measure by consolation how well you're doing. God, if I did that, I'd be a zip. But just stick it out. They're lying to us about so many things. At least the experts tell us how many, the rate of unemployment, the amount of debt, the amount of, you know, we're a mess right now. And only God can get us out of it. And still we're pushing for abortion. We're pushing for, you see? So this Lent, go to the Lord and say, I'm here, Lord. I'm reporting for service. How do you want me to pray? How do you want me to fast? How do you want me to give alms? How do you want me to evangelize? This is an important Lent. As I say, well, I'm 81, I might not even be around next Lent, but I think I will be. And I'm thinking to myself, what's it going to look like? This country could be in shambles. And if we're in shambles, what about the rest of the world? And how many people are won over to a rebellion against God and a hatred of God? Europe used to be the very center of civilization. I mean, even when they had wars, they stopped for holy days. Now we don't stop making money for anything. We've fallen a lot as a world and as a nation. And so the Lord doesn't stand there saying, repent, or he says, I give you Lent as a gift. That's why this first reading, you know. Return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments. We don't rend our garments, they cost too much. But they used to just rip them. You know, never mind that. Rend your hearts, you see, and return to the Lord. That's the definition of conversion. In Hebrew, tshuva, I've told you that. Okay. and return for gracious and merciful to see. And you can well imagine, after all the time I've been quoting Hebrew to you, what that is, right? That's his chesed, his rachum, you know, his mercy. Slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment. So why don't we say, Lord, we, the whole world, have deserved this, but in your power, I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to stand between you and the world where you put me, and I'm going to intercede. Have mercy on us. He'll say, I love that. I love that. Now you have got a heart like mine. Well, I got to stop. But you see, this is important, Lent. I don't know where this nation will be a year from now. I don't know where the world will be a year from now. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the financial collapse all over the world, the stirring up of armies all over the world, the hatred all over the world, and the hatred of us as a nation all over the world. If anybody thinks they could get away with a war, they'd start one. And they may do it anyway. And whoever dreamed that in our nation, you see, the government would make a law that we have to go against our conscience. In this nation, separation of church and state, as articulated by Jefferson, is not that the church doesn't interfere with the state, is that the state does not interfere with the church. That's the separation of church and state. And that's his doctrine. And that's important to realize. I'm just firmly convinced, my friends, I wish there were 5,000 of you here, you know, that we have got to put ourselves to a little bit of trouble. I mean, let's get up and get to Mass every day. What's wrong with that? It's inconvenient. So is a concentration camp. And if we don't get into one, somebody's got to get into one. Going to get into one, unless we pray and fast and give alms. Alms of our time, alms of our clothes, alms of our food, alms of our love, alms of our repentance. Let's stand and pray. The way we pray today is that we bless these ashes. Dear brethren, let us humbly ask God our Father that he be pleased to bless with the abundance of his grace these ashes, which we will put on our heads in penitence. Okay. O God, who are moved by acts of humility and respond with forgiveness to works of penance, lend your merciful ear to our prayers, and in your kindness pour out the grace of your blessing on your servants who are marked with these ashes, that as they follow the Lenten observances, they may be worthy to come with minds made pure to celebrate the resurrection, the conquering of all of this by God made man. He came among us to break the back on all this evil. That's what this is all about. See? And celebrate the gift of the resurrection, his and ours, through Christ our Lord.